are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Well, what a series this year. Fantastic series, Jesus Is. Last week we heard Dave share in the morning, Jesus Is Calling. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the podcast, but you'll only get about a third of what he spoke about because there was no chance of him having the names on the podcast. But it was an amazing message, and so that was fantastic. And then Sunday night, fantastic word by Graham on Jesus Is Our Security. And once again, I encourage you to get that. That was just a fantastic message. We all go through that in our life. And there's different elements of that that we deal with through our life. And so continue to listen to the messages that are coming about Jesus. And he is the answer to us, and he is the answer to the world out there. And so today, I want to talk on the subject, Jesus is our healer. So if you'll just read with me this scripture, you can follow it on the screens. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you would speak powerfully into our midst through your word. And Father, I pray that your Spirit is powerful in our meeting today. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. So God, speak through me. But Lord, I pray that hearts would be open, minds would be open to hear what you have to say on this subject. Jesus is our healer, because you are Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So Jesus is our healer. This has been a bit of a journey for me in my life. My father was very much part of the healing ministry. He's been part of a healing ministry for much of his life, so it's something that has been fairly, I guess, real and something that I've seen in my life. And I have seen many people healed. Not just with him praying, but through the different events and places that I have been, you know, in my own life, I have seen that. And I find it extremely strange that people don't think that there is healing for today. I find that very strange, because healing takes place today and we see it today. So I just want to encourage you, if you're sitting in the place that you don't believe that healing takes place today, can I ask you to open your heart and mind to what the Word of God says today? And it's an incredible thing, the Word of God, and it's what we, that is the closest thing. It's Jesus is the Word. The Word of God was with us, amongst us, and now he is, if you're a Christian today, he lives in you. He's in your heart. And so today, what I want to talk about is, I don't want to talk about the ifs, buts and maybes of healing. I don't want to talk about that. What I want to do, I don't want to talk about what you might have seen or experienced, as much as those things may be valid, or what your personal experience is. And they matter, they do matter. But I want to talk about what we know. That's what I want to talk about today. I don't want to play games on the edge of, oh, you think this or you think that. I want to talk about what we know. And the closest thing we're going to get to that is what we see in Scripture. Agreed? That's the closest thing we're going to get to it. So today, not what we think, not what others have told us or may have told us, but what we know from a scriptural point of view. So what we're going to do this morning is, I'm going to very quickly go through four things about what we know from Scripture. I'm going to talk about different type of healing and the different type of sickness. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stop and we're going to pray for people. We've got, I know Dave Odd has one or two words of knowledge. God's given me a couple. I'm not sure. I know Graham was praying about it. I'm not sure whether he had them. We don't just make them up in our minds. And we're going to bring those words of knowledge. And then if you have any sickness in your body, what we want to encourage you to do, if you can come forward, we want you to respond. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Let's get some action happening here today. So this is what we know. The first thing we know is that death and sickness took place and entered in the garden. If we see Romans 5:12, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all people, no one being able to stop it or escape it, its power, because they all sinned. So death entered in the garden, sickness entered in the garden. That's what the Word of God says. If you read Genesis, we see that Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and sin and sickness entered in the garden. We know that. That's what we know. And if you're thinking today, well, you know, maybe Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and all those books of the Bible, maybe those early books might not be true. Maybe they might be a nice story to help us understand creation. You're on shaky ground if you're in that place. The Word of God is the Word of God. You may not understand it, but it's the Word of God. And so if you start pulling things out, other things get shaky. And if Jesus took care of death and sin, and we think the first part is just a little bit of a story, then that makes the second part shaky. The fact that Jesus came to deal with death and sin. So that's the first thing. We know that that's where death and sickness entered. The second thing we know is that Jesus saw people healed, and Jesus laid hands on the sick and they were healed. It happened. Matthew 4:23-24, and I've just got a couple of scriptures here, but there's many scriptures. So if you read with me, and he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease, and every kind of sickness among the people, demonstrating and revealing that he was indeed the promised Messiah. So the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick, those suffering with various diseases and pains, those under the power of demons and epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. If we see in Acts 10:38, and I haven't got that scripture, it says how God appointed Jesus, of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and with great power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. I'd like someone, I don't want anyone to answer this because I know they can't find the answer, but there wasn't one person that Jesus didn't lay hands on and was healed. There wasn't one person. Not one. That's what we know. Third thing we know is God's desire is revealed in Christ. So God's desire, God the Father's desire, is revealed in Christ. If we have a look at Colossians 1:15, and he said he is the, it says he is the exact living image, this is Jesus, the essential manifestation of the unseen God. The visible representation of the invisible. The firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation. So Jesus was the exact representation of the Father, the originator of all creation. There's another scripture I've got here, is Hebrews 1:3, which is not on the screen. It says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. This is Jesus, the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honour at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So what Jesus carried out when he was here on earth was the exact representation of God the Father. So that's what God wants. What Jesus outworked, that's what God wants. So let's get them on parallel. Let's get them on the same page. Let's not think that God wanted one thing, but Jesus wanted another. The exact representation. This is the Word of God. Okay, let's look at the last of the four things. So he has asked us to do the same. Jesus in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God in Christ reconciling us to himself, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's look at John 14:10-12. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this work through me. So it does this work through me. This is Jesus speaking. Just believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me to do. I tell you the truth. Now, I wanted to put this in red letter and I wasn't sure how it was going to come out. Didn't come out as well as I'd hoped it had come out. But it'll highlight it even more, you know that. For those who can't read that, and I'm struggling to read it, I need to put my glasses on. You have seen me do. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone. Everyone repeat. Anyone. Anyone. Who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. What we've seen Jesus do and what I've seen, aside from what Jesus did in and through others, Christ in and through others, it's for all, anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. I think that is amazing and exciting. I think that is incredible. So we see in Mark 16, it says, of one of the signs that accompany those who believe is that they will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Okay, so I just want to ask a question before we begin to pray. And I just run through a couple of things. And if I can do this with a raise of hands. Who has been prayed for some sort of healing and miracle? Who's been prayed for that? Someone's prayed for you at some point. Okay, no worries. All right, so in that, who has been prayed for something and not been healed? It's okay, it's all right. Who's been prayed for and not been healed? Okay. So who has been prayed for and been healed? Look at that. Let's increase the faith in this building today. All right, so the second question I have, who has prayed for someone to be healed here? Who has prayed for you? So you've actually prayed for someone to be healed. Okay, so who has prayed for someone and they haven't been healed? I reckon it could be a few of us. Or you wouldn't be on your own. Well, maybe Jesus. So, now who has prayed for someone here and they've seen them healed? Look at that. That is awesome. Praise be to God. Because it's not us who does it. It's God who does it. It's God who does the healing. Okay? So today, as we consider this, where is your belief today? What's your experience tell you? What have people told you? In Numbers 13, we saw the 12 spies go into the land of Canaan. And in that, two came back with a good report and said, we can take the land. We can enter the land. We can take the land. And 10 came back and said, we can't. You know what? Visually, they all went to the same place. They all saw the same thing. But two of them came back and said, yep, there's giants in the land. The reality is that that's what there is. But God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Andy, God is with us. We can see the giants taken. Where do you sit today? Are you a 2 or you are a 10? Father, I pray that you would increase our faith today. So just before we pray, I just want to quickly run through. I'm no doctor, okay, but I reckon there's probably, I would dumb it down to 4 types of sickness and disease. The first one is physical. The second one is emotional, which can be kind of relational. And we see that in Psalm 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. 3, mental, and that can, there's a lot around anxiety at the moment. And 4, spiritual, okay? And I think there can be spiritual sickness. All right, so we can go to the next slide, Dave. You're doing a great job, Dave, this morning. The types of healing we see are first natural. So a natural healing, someone has a cut on their arm and naturally in time it heals over, okay? Second one, we see medical healing, and the medical profession is amazing. And through their knowledge and understanding, it is incredible the amazing things that we see the medical profession do, and I certainly don't want to take away from what they do. And the third one we see is spiritual. Okay? And I put that in 2 parts, which I didn't put up there. And if we talk spiritually, I want to simplify this as best we can. A, miraculously. Now, that can be a physical or a deliverance. And we've seen people that are just, you know, something like a smoking addiction. We've seen people that they get prayed for a smoking addiction, bang. Straight away, gone. Totally, totally done, miraculously. But the second part we see is that I would say by the word of God. And it's almost like the word of God is the ointment on a sore. Like you put ointment on a sore. And for some, there's a process of healing that takes time. And in a meeting like this, someone may be prayed for something, and in and through that, what takes place is that they begin to put the washing of the word of God and the ointment of the word of God on their wound, and in time they are healed and they get an understanding of that healing process. Okay, so that's where we're at. That's what we know. That's the simple version of where we're at today. So we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for people now. All right, and so I asked Dave Odd and Graham, did you get any words of knowledge? And I would like Dave and Graham to quickly, Dave, if you just want to come down here. A word of knowledge is something that God gives us a picture of that you may be here today, and it's not something we make up, but it's something that comes from God. And so if there's a word of knowledge for you today, I want you to respond, okay, to that word of knowledge. And Dave will be over there. If you respond to the words, go to the person who's brought the words, unless there's heaps, which is okay. There'll be people to pray. And so Dave's going to give us those words.
We heard from the Kids Hope that it's God showing that he has his hand on somebody and they are important. So these words are given so you know that God knows what you're going through. Now, the first one is somebody, you have a rash, you've treated it as much as you can, it won't go away. A rash on part of your body, and it's just there, stays there. The second one is you are unwell, but you're frightened. You're frightened to go to a doctor because you think it might be something serious. And yet, you know, God wants to heal that, whatever it is, to take away that fear, but also to heal whatever it is that is causing you to be unwell. So they're the only 2 that I had, Chris.
Thanks, Andy. As I was walking this morning and praying about this, God showed me there was a whole lot of people here and you've got scars in your life. Now, scars indicate that we have been healed. A scar is a healing. But your problem is that your mind won't let you be healed. And so you need healing of the memories. And so if you know that you've got a scar, an emotional scar, a physical scar, something that has happened to your life, you might not see blood, you might not see any evidence of that anymore, but mentally it still drags you down and stops you or robs you from doing what you want to do.
Okay, I had three. All right, the first one was, it's really simple. You've got an issue with your 12th vertebrae. It was really specific. God gave it to me, your 12th vertebrae. Okay, you'll know. I don't need to talk about it anymore. You'll know. The second one I had was someone, and of late, you have just exploded in anger at the smallest little things, and you can't put a finger in why that's happening, and you're feeling guilty about it, but you're just exploding in anger, and going right off at different times. God knows what's going on, and He wants to help you with that. And the third one was, I know this could be a number, but this one was fairly clear, is that in your faith, in your life, in your Christian life, you are just going through the motions. Now, this could begin a process today, but God wants a deeper relationship with you and doesn't want it just to be religious. It's almost like it's become religious to you, but He wants a deep relationship with you. So this is what we're going to do. I've asked some people to pray and the elders to pray. And so, guys, when you pray, I don't want long prayers. Let's just pray for the issue and then let God do what God's got to do. Okay, so if that's you and you have any sickness in your body that you want prayer for, can you please come forward right now? We're just going to do it. Just don't muck around. Just come forward. Respond. Come forward. Don't be embarrassed. Just come down. Okay, those who are praying, if you can start to pray. And for those who are sitting out there, I want you to join with us in prayer. Ask God to increase your faith. And if there's someone up here you know, just reach your hands out to them. Just be in prayer. Let's not be spectators. Let's join together and pray together. Just while the guys are finishing over there praying, I just wanted to finish off with a bit of a testimony today. The scripture talked about anyone who believes can pray for the sick. We can all pray for the sick. And why don't we? Fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of what other people think of us. Fear that we don't have enough faith, or that we might be inconvenienced. And I've been really challenged in the last probably 18 months on this issue. I don't want to call it an issue, I want to call it a good thing. But anyway, I want to give you three Bunnings stories because they're always an interesting thing. So as you know, I work over at Bunnings and I'm there a couple of days a week. And you know, the Bible says that everything we do it unto the Lord. And you know, there's times I'm walking around Bunnings and people need to be prayed for. And it's very inconvenient and it's very scary. And I don't walk around with a Superman cape with a big S on the front or anything like that. I walk around with an ugly green apron on, with pockets in it, with a name tag on the front and Bunnings walk written over it. I want to give you three quick examples before we finish as an encouragement. There's a lady. There's a lady at work, and I'll call her. Her name's not this, but just so people remember, I'll call her Barbara. All right, Barbara's a great name. Okay, I hope there's no one here called Barbara, but anyway, we'll call her Barbara. She wears a moon boot and has for a number of years now. And I was in, God impressed on me to pray for her. And I don't want to over-spiritualise it, because when they're sick, we pray. And so I went up to her one day and looked around to make sure there was no managers watching. And so I asked her, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, I'd love you to pray for me. And so I prayed for her then and there. It was scary. And I said, how do you sense? She said, there's no change. But she said, I believe. She wasn't a Christian. And so she wasn't healed. But every time I see her now, I say, I'm still praying for you. I'm still praying for you. And I believe that God is going to heal her. Why? I don't know. I don't want to get into the ifs, buts and maybes. All right, the second person was a guy called Lou. And this one was a real struggle for me. He's a guy with Parkinson's. And he came in a couple of months ago, and he'd walk along, and then he'd really struggle to walk, and then he'd walk along, and he had a bit of a discussion, or maybe a bit of an argument with me about a certain product that we didn't have, he thought we had, and we didn't have, and he was grumpy, and I'm just getting this sense, I need to pray for this guy. And I thought, how's he going to receive this when I've just told him we haven't got what he wants? And so anyway, he went out, and I was really kicking myself, because I thought I really needed to pray for that guy. Anyway, he came back in a couple of months later, and he was in there, and the first thing he said to me, he came up to me, he said, you know what? And he was struggling to speak. He said, you were right about that product, you know. And I said, okay, no worries, that's cool. You don't have to talk to me about that. And anyway, then God started impressing me, you need to pray for this guy. And I'm like, oh, fear to come do this. And so I followed him out to the car and helped him out to his car, because he really struggled. I don't know how he was even driving, actually. I wasn't going to be on the road at the same time he was. But so we got nearly out to the car, and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, no, I wouldn't mind. And I started to pray for him, and I just prayed for him. At the end of prayer, I just said, God, I just pray you'll heal this man. Simple prayer. And he said, what is that? And I said, oh, it's Christianity. And he said what his religion was, and he said he'd been burnt by it, which is a lot of stories out there. Why wasn't he healed? He may have been. I don't know. And I pray that he is healed. And the third story is about one of the reps that we have over at Bunnings. And she came in. She could see she was in real pain one Monday. And I said, what's going on? And she said, oh, I've just been told that I've got to have a massive back operation, and there's no way of being able to do what I've got to be able to do. So once again, looking around, make sure there's no managers around. And I said, I'm not talking this is easy stuff, okay? I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And she said, no, I don't mind. I'm Catholic. And so I prayed with her, and I really didn't know what happened. Anyway, next time I saw her, I said, how's your back? And she said, yeah, it seems really good. And I said, okay, no worries. So about 2 months later, we were just having this discussion. And she said, you know, the other night I was sitting with my mum, and we were watching this program. Now, some faith healer or someone was on the TV. Shit, this is how she was talking. And she said, we were sitting there with my mum, and my mum's going, this is amazing. And she said, you know what? That happened to me at work. She said, I needed to have a back operation, and I've been prayed for, and my back is perfect. Amen. It's not about me. It's about Christ in me. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm nothing special. It's all our role to get out there and to pray for people. You know, Jesus said, these people struggle to believe unless they see a miracle. I don't think humanity's changed that much. Now, that's not the end goal. And it's not about having a tag that says, oh, I've seen someone healed. It's about what Jesus does and his hope that you bring. The hope that comes through him. Jesus didn't operate of, I hope they get wowed by my healing. He operated out of love from the Father that he wanted to see them have eternal life. That's the end goal. And so today, I want everyone to stand, please, as we finish. And I pray that there are people I prayed for this morning that have been healed. And I pray all of you are healed. But what I want to pray now is I want to pray that God would increase all our faith. That even through the fear of rejection, even through the fear of what people think about us, even through inconvenience and all those things, that whether it be physical, emotional, mental or spiritual, that we would ask God for the words to say. It doesn't have to be complicated, it'd be simple. That's the love of God through us into others. Jesus is our healer. Father, I just pray for every single person here today. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Father, I pray that we would be in a place that we would be open to go, God, I see that person there in a wheelchair. I see that person there with a broken arm. I see that person there with a downcast face. And Father, you are our healer. By your stripes we were healed. And so, Lord, give us a revelation of your love, a revelation of your grace, that through us, that you through us, we may see people changed, people healed, but more importantly, people come to your kingdom. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. What a great God we serve. Let's give God a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Today, I want to talk about the wine that Jesus refused and the wine that Jesus accepted. It's something that sort of came out of a textbook that I was reading last year for one of the courses that I was doing, and it was a textbook about grief and pain, and the author asked the question, will the scriptures help you with your pain? And he says, yes and no, and he goes on to quote this, the scriptures are not a medicine cabinet filled with prescriptions to take the edge off of life. They are about a God who, during this most painful experience on earth, refused to drink the wine mixed with myrrh. And that sort of caught my curiosity, and I decided to look into it a little bit further. So the wine that was offered to Jesus that he rejected. In Matthew 27, verse 33 to 34, it says, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. When he tasted it, he would not drink it. So the word gall or myrrh in the Greek literally means poison. So the Old Testament scriptures that use this word have a common definition of something that tastes bitter and is often poisonous. So something to note is that all poisons are bitter and all acids are sour. A mixture of wine and gall was commonly given to criminals before the execution in order to sort of ease some of their suffering and dull their senses. Christ refused this drink, knowing that its bitter taste signified it was a poison and a painkiller. He did not want to die from poisoning or have his senses numbed while on the cross. He knew that he had to shed his blood in order for him to become the supreme sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, and he refused to take the easy way out of it. Very interesting. So that's the wine that Jesus rejected. Jesus was also offered wine a second time on the cross, and this time he accepted it. John 19, 28 to 30 says, after this, Jesus, knowing all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So it's important to note that the scripture says sour wine. The wine that Jesus drank was sour, and it was actually a sour wine vinegar, not a poison. And some people use the argument that Jesus died by poison and not crucifixion. And so something like this little small detail is actually so, so important. Sour wine vinegar is mentioned in the Old Testament as a refreshing drink. It's a common beverage appreciated by laborers and soldiers because it relieved thirst more effectively than water, and it was inexpensive. So the thought here is that Jesus wasn't offered corrosive vinegar, but a sour wine drink from the people. Jesus did thirst, and then he drank. And the offer of the sip of wine can be seen as intended to keep Jesus conscious for as long as possible. So the first wine, mixed with gall, was designed to dull Jesus' pain, to keep him from having to endure the cross with full consciousness. This is the wine he refused. And the second sour wine was given to keep him conscious for as long as possible, and thus have the effect of prolonging his pain. This is the wine Jesus drank. So when Jesus hung on the cross, and this is something that amazes me, he was fully conscious, even, you know, with all the pain that he endured before going on the cross, he was conscious in the mind. He didn't just hang there and wait to die. He was enduring all the pain and all the sin and all the suffering of the world, and he was thinking of us. It's in these little details that we see how amazing Jesus' sacrifice actually was. Jesus suffered for us. He rejected medicine to numb him from the pain. He waited until it was all fulfilled before he gave his last breath. He fulfilled prophecy until his very last breath. He didn't waste anything. Just brings an added meaning to the scripture, Hebrews 4:15, that says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted, even on the cross, to take the wine that would dull his pain and to quicken his death. Yet he did not sin, and he did not numb the pain that he was called to endure. So as we consider the bread and the juice this morning, the wine that Jesus drank was a sour vinegar, and it endured his pain. The cup that we have today is sweet, and that's what victory tastes like. That's what freedom tastes like. And so let's take a moment now and consider the cup that Jesus drank, and because of the cup that he drank, the cup that we now get to drink. That is freedom and victory over all our sin, over all our shame and our suffering and our pain. Let's do that now. Lord, we thank you for your body that broke for us and for your blood that was poured out for us, Lord God. You are our sacrifice, our atonement for our sins. And Lord, we give you glory and we give you all the praise today, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do in our lives, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.